And then item nine, reports, trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences. Any trustee reports? Are you going to report on Sackers or which?
Well, report on whatever you like.
There's a whole menu, you can choose.
Touch on Sackers, but there's something else you'd rather touch on.
No, no, I'm happier touching on Sackers. And I'm hoping that you're going to provide that global report that.
I'm not worried about that.
We only need one of.
Sean wasn't there, and so.
Oh, then.
Yeah.
We're expecting a lot.
There's no pressure.
And also, like I said, the quiet periods are so terrifying to me, and there's so many of them out there now. And it's a very busy group here about the government. I enrolled in the Federal Witness Protection Program before I went, and also Marty Scott. Just a couple of comments that are kind of, as usual, the Sackers meeting always reflects a lot of work that is put in by the staff and the committees, and so there are a lot of certain, all the interesting speakers they got. They started out with Dan Quayle, which I wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but I'll give a brief thing. I found his presentation quite interesting. It was nonpartisan, impressive. He was inevitably asked questions about what he thought about Trump, and he delicately danced around those. And the nice thing was, I thought, was that he delicately never touched the idea of how you spell potato. And no one in the audience was discourteous enough to bring it up, so it was able to get it through. And he closed with a comment which I thought was interesting. He thought that the biggest task at hand was getting both sides to work together. And he thought that was the number one thing that needed to be done in Washington. And not sure he sounded all that encouraged by the prospect, but it's clearly higher on his list. I thought he did a good job. There was a presentation on emerging markets, which was kind of interesting. It included the speaker from CalPERS, and CalPERS has now indicated that is a newly dedicated asset category for CalPERS, emerging markets that they're using. The performance he claimed had so far had been better than expected for emerging markets. And that since they entered, since 2001, CalPERS has been doing some of this work, and I think they claimed 9 to 10% returns since that time, which is certainly noteworthy. Probably the best quote was his presentation, which is kind of an overriding theme in a lot of the Sackers presentations. And he said, "There are always opportunities in a chaotic world, and picking is important, but there's always opportunities." Which reminded me of that old saying about something else. It's an old man, the world's no good. As long as you pick the right thing, you can pick the ugliest looking thing and still make money at it, which was something to think about. One of the other speakers on the same topic said that Latin America was an interesting area, and as far as her firm was concerned, and Africa, some distant second, Latin American opportunities. There was a presentation on private credit, which I found somewhat interesting, mostly because rather than having two speakers up there that were agreeing with one another all the time, this was I don't know if it was planned to be that, but it was slightly contentious between the two speakers, one whether it was a good idea or not an idea. They discussed considerably, as you might expect, the chase for money and for opportunities. And the biggest thing I got out of that, I think, was that the speaker who was not negative necessarily in the whole area, but had a cautionary note, was that productization, he said, is something that he's concerned about, because there seems to be such a chase for money that, as usual, this is whetting the appetite of people in these various firms to come up with the newest, latest hot product, and that was not necessarily a good sign. He saw it as a cautionary note, that don't be attracted simply by that. The speaker was also, his experience was in China. That drew a lot of attention because the timing was certainly perfect because Mr. Trump was in China at the time. And his name is Yu Ming Wang, and used to be from, worked for Nikko Asset Management. One of the interesting notes was that he said that he cautioned people not to, to beware of labels. And the labels, to quickly identify individuals or countries by a label, either negative or positive, but mostly negative, and be aware of those. One of the really interesting things he talked about was the change in brand awareness in China. He said that there was considerably adjustments going on, not because they were the Chinese were interested in non-American brands or Chinese brands, but that they were moving away from brand names that they had been attracted to in the past. And he pointed out Starbucks, Nike, iPhones, Visa, MasterCard, and Tesla all as declining in the interest of the part of the Chinese citizenry, which is pretty interesting. Mainly because he said they have alternatives in China, or elsewhere within China, and that they are equally good, sometimes better priced, and it was just a matter of the American brands losing some of their luster. One of the comments he made, though, which I thought was interesting, was he said that when China, there's a saying apparently in China, when China enters a sector, profits leave the room, which was interesting. In other words, you may not necessarily be wrapping your arms around Chinese investments for profits, because it doesn't necessarily mean the Chinese entry is going to improve your profits. He talked about too much housing capacity. That message doesn't appear to have changed. The running joke apparently amongst the Chinese is that all those Potemkin villages that we heard about years ago that they were building, and that the Chinese were being forced to invest in, they're still empty, but that they're going to be occupied by the people that are coming to build the next Potemkin villages. That's the running joke in China, that make their own. His comment on Taiwan, which I thought was interesting, just one person's feeling, but he certainly has more experience to share than other people say, having spent a lot of time in Taiwan. He doesn't believe that there's going to be a military conflict. He doesn't think that it's going to come to that. That there's going to be a national, there will be a rational solution, is possible, between the Chinese and the Taiwanese and the Americans. That was his take.
He said that independence was the red line.
I'm sorry?
Independence is the red line. As long as they don't try for independence, it's probably going to work out.
Or we endorse that.
Yeah.
So we're continuing to take this. What's the position I call it? Strategic ambivalence, which is a fascinating position to take, but here we are. One of the more interesting presentations I heard, and I think I've heard presentations before, this one seemed to be a little bit even more compelling, and yes, it was presented by proponents, but and I understand where they're coming from, what was on affordable housing. I found that to be a very interesting presentation, talking about this is not low-income housing, but affordable housing, pegged a percentage of the average median income of individuals. But as a performance investment, most speakers seem to agree that these are performing well. The capital is safe, that the returns are safe, that they're performing as expected, and it seemed like something that our group might want to look at more significantly, or at least take a peek at it, because it's obviously an emerging.
But part of that stability is that demand outstrips supply by such a huge margin.
People always need a place to live, right? I mean, that's the theory.
Yeah.
And some of the one of the interesting things was that a number of positions that they have taken in regard to are conversions from assets that were intended to be much higher performing assets, but are now being unloaded, because they're not performing the way people expected. So the affordable housing market is picking those up and not necessarily even having to convert them, but they are in fact converting them to a more affordable housing. But the tenants are, correct me if I'm wrong, $65,000-$70,000 a year tenants. These are working individuals that have good, solid paying jobs. The default rate is very low. The units are apparently extremely attractive, and they had quite a number of to show. So
I think that he said the tenancy for each one of those was 7 years average.
Yeah.
So they're stable.
And then they had a little A, B, C, and D, kind of pick what you thought was kind of that low-income housing. And one of those projects was actually about two blocks from where I used to live in San Francisco, and I had no idea And when they knocked down the old housing projects and built this new housing project in its place, it completely transformed the neighborhood. It's anchored by a Trader Joe's. So it does a lot for a community.
So I find it to be a very interesting presentation, only because it's not something that it gets, not a bad rap, that's too strong, but it's getting typecast, some of it, as being low-income housing. And there's this distinct difference between what they're describing as affordable housing versus low-income housing. These are not housing projects that are being put up in downtown Chicago and destroyed 50 years later because they look like Russian octopus. Let's see, the breakout was excellent. They did terrific work there. Went longer than I expected, but they do bill by the hour. So.
Yeah, it's
not long. So they went quite long, and we were able to hear an update on things. I don't think we present that today, or the controversy is reserved for some of the counters. Did the update on the case that you were able to present at the time?
Not on the agenda.
Don't have any, then never mind, I'm sorry.
But you can feel free to share.
No, I'm going to put my, phony mustache mask back on. I want to be counseled later on. We had a speaker again. There's the same agent who had done the presentation before from the FBI. And it's always impressive because he comes fully armed and he's standing up there giving his presentation on fraud. And it was interesting listening to some of the people in the audience because most of them had individual instances they wanted to ask about. Then one reading and saying, on my phone, is this a scam? Is this a scam? And he said, yes. So he had kind of the latest update for people in the audience, but it's a growth area. Unfortunately, it's a target-rich environment, and there are a lot of vulnerabilities out there.
Yep.
His presentation worked out well. But all in all, it's a applause to Sackers. They did an excellent job. And Sharon received the volunteer award, which I thought was pretty
great.
Congratulations.
And if anyone would like to add anything else, I know that doesn't even begin to compare to John's report.
Yeah. I just want to add that I attended the legislative breakout, and in there they had a speaker that was talking about that the government has just released a new budget. We've got considerably more money than they thought they were going to have. There's going to be no deficit probably until 28 or 29. But after that, look out. It's going to be ugly. And so I thought that was interesting with all the talk about the deficit and the budget. And there apparently is going to be no deficit this year. Short-term physical outlook is good. And then there was some discussion about some of the legislation that we've talked about here, so I won't go into that.
All right, thank you, Mike.
The budget's always predicated on a certain anticipated amount of tax revenue.
IPOs are coming in a much heavier than.
It's always the shortfall that gets us to where, like, we have our budget deficit because the tax receipts were less than what was anticipated, so it just seems like they're picking some random number, hoping they meet that target.
Well, here's a thought. Not every state has a governor leaving office running for president either, right?
Yeah, I don't know why that would have any impact.
Not bad, is it?
Just a coincidence.
All right. Any more on Sackers?
Just one thing on the FBI agent. The Internet of Things was part of what the guy talked about in terms of how it can capture that from your hotel stay. It had a lot of personal information tied to you. So besides Henry's comment about the mini bar not being accessible, that's another reason to not do it for hotel stays. Just to tie it together.
All right,
Mr. Clerk, I'm sorry. Another potential investment area in emerging market was Africa, Cameroon, Congo, and so forth, because of rare minerals. And on the final day, there was a discussion about fund expenses. And so what your fund manager charges you and needs to be taken into context with respect to the overall return and how that investment impacts your portfolio in other ways, not just return itself, but other areas of value like diversification and so forth. So, so very, very good conference. And it was good seeing the colleagues there. Yeah, a lot of CICERA folks at the Cypress conference. It was great to hang with you guys.
Excellent. All right. Any further trustee reports? Not hearing any or seeing any hands. So let's move on to staff reports.
Well, Jerry stole a little bit of mine, but I wanted to recognize Karen because she did receive an award at Sackers, and it was for her volunteer. As we know, she's on the Ledge Committee, but she also volunteers very often to do those breakout sessions that are so good for the attorneys. And then I went to the PRISM conference after that, and Colin was recognized as a founding member of a group that is getting all of the retirement systems in the nation together to share fraud information. So as retirement systems are becoming aware of an attempted fraud at their system, they're able to share it across. And he's one of those members, and it's been working with them to put that together. So I wanted to take the time to kind of recognize our staff that are doing some great things.
Excellent.
And then I don't know if Karen wants to touch on the Ledge update that's in the packet. I know it's the monthly update.
Yes. So we started providing the board in the agenda packet a copy of the Sackers Legislative Committee's updates that they send. Previously, those were shared with trustees via email as soon as we received them. We'll continue to do that, but the ad hoc Legislative Committee of this board wanted us to also include the report in the agenda packet, and that gives us opportunity to address it each time and see if there's any questions. So we did that again here in this packet, and I have a brief cover memo that just touches on the highlights, but feel free to ask any questions you have. I'll go over just the main bills that we're looking at and monitoring. The first one is AB 1383. That's the PEPRA pension bill. We've talked about that several times. That is continuing to move along. It had some edits to it last week, and it's basically around allowing an increase of the PEPRA benefits going forward for prospective service only for safety members that are in the PEPRA tiers. We've talked about it before that the actuaries have put together cost analyses around these, both for CalPERS, for Sackers, and there's discussions about the cost of these enhanced benefits. And we'll probably hear more about this bill as it continues to move along.
Is that is your mic on? Just
oh, sorry.
No, no, that's okay. And it is? Yeah, I just wanted to be sure that.
Okay, sorry. Hopefully you could hear me. Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Sorry about that. AB 1619 is about the $100 per meeting stipend that is paid to appointed board members as well as the elected retiree members on the board. That is still pending. It was amended fairly recently to also apply to the CalPERS appointed trustees. They also have a different statute. That stipulates that they get $100 per meeting. And so that was incorporated into this bill. And if you recall, this board voted to support that bill. So we do have a support letter out for that bill. And AB 2780 is the omnibus bill for the retirement systems. This one really goes to what we talked earlier about, the clarifications of the laws that apply to CERL systems, but also CalPERS and CalSTRS. That bill is moving along. And lastly, SB 1319, that was a transparency act that would have required additional disclosures around private equity investments on the part of public pension systems in California, so it would have applied to CalPERS and the SERL systems. SACRS opposed it, if you recall, and the SACRS Legislative Committee Chair testified against it to the legislature. We got word last week, Thursday morning, that that bill did not make it out of the committee, which means that it's basically stalling, and we don't know if it'll come back or proceed in some other way in the future. It's backed by certain labor unions in the private sector that represent hotel workers and grocery store workers. So it may come back, but at this point, we are not worried about it. So that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Karen. Any questions of Karen on the ledge update?
Yeah, just a question, it's kind of informational. The support letters that we submitted, I was just wondering, does it really make a difference? I mean, or is it just a, I guess, good field support letter? Like, just from your experience?
I think it does make a difference. I think that the staff at the legislative office, they look at the opposition and support letters, and they summarize those. The reports usually have a list of the oppositions, you know, the parties that opposed or supported, sometimes with a brief summary of why they took that position. So I think it is helpful, yes.
Yeah, I just want to pile on and say, I do think it does make a difference just from my other life in working on legislation. Usually the first thing people do if they're asked about a bill, if it's a legislator when they're rounding up votes, whatever, first order of business is, before you even read the damn summary of the bill, who supports and who opposes. It's the first thing people look at. So I think weighing in, particularly when it's important, matters.
With the transparency bill that I just noted, basically as soon as CalPERS had published their recommendation to their board to oppose, which was very lengthy and detailed, the bill basically died. So it's helpful, especially if it's coming from CalPERS.
The gorilla weighed in. Yeah. All right. Any other questions or comments?